All right, thank you, folks. We'll get started as soon as I get the microphone fixed. I train one of these guys, and then I have to train another one. All joking aside, none of them please me. I have to do it myself. Anybody got a wife like that or a husband like that? All right, open your Bibles. Easy to find. Last book in the Bible, Book of Revelation. Amen. And we're best still, I think, in chapter 9. Which means you didn't listen very fast last week. We didn't move very far. Revelation chapter 9. I am forced to review a lot because some of you just aren't here all the time, amen? So it's not my fault. When my kid was growing up, like most kids, something would happen, and the first words out of his mouth is, "It's not my fault." We all inherit that, don't we? We kind of grew up with that. We all do it. And while it may be true, oftentimes it isn't. Revelation chapter 9, we start off remembering where we're at. We're in the tribulation period, deep into it by Revelation chapter 9. Remember your outline on the book of Revelation. We're living in the church age right now. I believe it's close to coming to an end. I believe it ends in Revelation chapter 4, around verse 1. Where John is caught up unto heaven, when he hears a voice talking to him and a trumpet blowing, I believe that's exactly what's going to happen when the church is called out. And he's caught up to heaven around the throne, begins to see some things and sees the price paid for our redemption when the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, is worthy to take the seven seal book from the hand of him that sits on the throne. And then we begin to go through the opening of the seals. And then we find out sometimes God puts us between the seals, he puts a parenthesis. In chapter 8, verse 1, said when he had opened the seventh seal, we find the sixth seal opened at the end of chapter 6. And here the seventh seal is opened in Revelation 8 and verse 1. Now, under that seal, we're seeing things happen in chapter 9, and it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, talk some about that. This is a star that's a personality. It's a him, and he's given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, throughout written history, you find references to what might be in the heart of the earth. The Bible, because of so many places in the Bible, it indicates downward for hell. And so through Christianity and through history, it's become a synonym for where hell might be located. Now, we think about the difference in a spiritual thing and a physical thing, physical to us. By the way, let me tell you something. Something can be spiritual and still be real. There's a little play on words there, but you know, if the scientists are right, there's all kind of dimensions. The Jewish sages of old, the prophets and elders of Judaism and all their writings believed that there were seven dimensions. Science has kind of caught up with that in our day and age, and there's some writings that says the same thing. Way back when they were putting the first Sputnik satellites up in the sky. You remember, Russia beat us to it to start with. And then, of course, we caught up. By the way, until the Trump administration, for a number of years, we were having to hitchhike into space. You did know that, didn't you? We were having to ride on Russian missiles. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Well, now we're shooting our own for whatever it's worth. Different leadership anyway. But in the early years, Russia beat us into space with a satellite. And later on, of course, they all kind of talk about it. We believe that there was a lot of human life lost in the Russian experiments. But later on, Russia put men in orbiting around the earth and in space. And in those early years, some of the writings came out where the astronauts, we'd call them, whatever they call them over there, came back to off of one of those rides, scared to death, ruined mentally for life, because their story was that they saw angels up there, scared them to death. Now, it was kind of strange, because one of the first satellites they put up, first man-made thing, was the Russians began to brag, because they're an atheistic nation. That's what they taught in school. And one of their early trips, they bragged, "We have sent a man up there, and we didn't see God." I guess God didn't like being mocked, because after a little bit, they come back scared to death that they saw the angels. And the angels looked at them. It was around their satellite, and the angels were very big, and pretty well drove them out of their mind for them to see them. So that's written down, whether it's true or not. That's the reports. So there is such a thing as apparently different dimensions. I don't quite understand that. I like to watch sometimes some of the paranormal stuff that they catch on camera on TV. It is pretty interesting. And it does appear that there's some forces invisible to us that can get up on occasion and make things move and so forth in our dimension and scare folks to death. I think about the little boy being put to bed at night, and he was afraid of the dark. And his mother went in there to quiet him down and tell him nothing to be afraid of. She said, "There's nobody in the dark but God." She closed the door and said, "Go to sleep." Turned off the light. Little boy was heard saying, "God, I know you're in here, but please don't move. You'll scare me to death." Now, the truth is, there's some things that we can't explain that scare us. If we could see what the book of Revelation is telling us is going to be, it would scare us to death. You know, we will see it, but we'll have bodies and minds that will be prepared to see it. Be a big difference after I'm raptured up and what I am right now. Amen? So anyway, we can brag. I know when I was growing up as a kid, lost kid, didn't know the gospel, didn't know the truth, but mother and grandmother, especially grandmother, would tell ghost stories. We had no TV, but she could have put some programs on TV, if I believe, if they'd have listened to her, amen? And some of that stuff was very scary. Now, this angel, this star, comes down. He's got the key to the bottomless pit. He opens it up. It's darkened by the sky. It's darkened by what comes out of the pit. It's like a smoke, but it's locust. But it's not regular locust. We talked about that last week. It's supernatural locust. It's locust, maybe. They look like horses dressed for battle, the scripture says. And if you've ever seen a medieval horse decorated for the jostling match and so forth with the knights and so forth, you understand. It is a strange thing, and I've done this. You can take a microscope or a magnifying glass even. Pick you up an old grasshopper. He's very close kin to a locust. In fact, you might put two of them. You pick the right grasshopper together, you might not know the difference. But if you look right at them in the face through a magnifying glass, you'll find out they do look like a medieval horse dressed for battle, because they have that, we know about masks now, so I'll say they have that mask on, amen. But anyway, the truth is that this is supernatural stuff happening, but they're coming into a physical earth, into the physical realm where men live, and they're tormenting men. It says for 5 months. Now, you've heard it, and I've preached it, and other preachers have. Five's the number of grace, but let's understand something. Every time you trace it down in the Bible, it's connected to death. And here these men want to die. They're tormented 5 months, but they can't find death. I've seen some folks hurting so bad they ask God to let them die, haven't you? And yet they're asking that, but God won't let them die. He makes them stay here and suffer the torment. Death. Five is the number of death. While we understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ came through his death, but if you trace the scriptures in the Bible, I won't do it right now, but if you trace them, and even with the verse numbers in the King James Bible, it is amazing how that it works out. I know it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to have been added later, but I've often said God was not dead when they were added. I believe if you look, and you check me out later when you get home, I don't expect you to, but you could do this. You could check out, I believe, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5 and find out that's where death first comes, where I believe Adam died. And the first man, death came through him. We all got it. We all gonna die. It may not be of the virus. It may be of something else. Maybe a car wreck. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Now, if the rapture takes place, we'll cheat death. And I'd be all for that, wouldn't you? But most of us, if we're saved, aren't so afraid of what we're going to find on the other side. We're more afraid of the method that's going to take us out. That's mostly where our fear comes from. But anyway, this bottomless pit is open. Then it tells us something about the fellow that's in charge of it. And we left off there last week about verse 11. Talking about these locusts that come out of the pit. Said they had a king over them, which natural locust swarms do not have. But they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And we trace those names for you. Meaning basically destruction. And it's an amazing thing how you, if you follow this thing through, and I think I did a little bit of that for you, means destroy your destruction. What I did for you a little bit last week, we won't do much on it now, but John chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is talking to the Father and saying he hasn't lost any of the disciples the Lord gave him, except Jesus makes an exception. He said, except the son of perdition. He was referring to Judas. So the word perdition is the same word they get the word destroyer from here in these two different languages. So it tells us something about Judas. Judas was more than human. He was a human body, but the devil took him over. Bible tells you plainly that Satan entered into him. Bible tells you plainly that after he committed suicide, and Satan does this to people today, he uses them, then he drops them, and many of them can't live with themselves, and suicide is a big part of that. Anyway, the Bible tells us about Judas in John chapter 6, that he was a devil. It also tells us, Peter said, that he went to his own place. The devil has his own place. Mother used to tell me something that wasn't true growing up as a kid. It was one of her chimney corner Bible scriptures. It's not in the Bible. She used to think the devil was the ruler of hell, but he's not the ruler of hell. You've seen the cartoons where he's got a pitchfork and he's pushing people into the fire. That's not accurate. You know who suffers the greatest fire of all is the devil himself. He's cast in the lake of fire, the Bible says. And so you get that thing right. But this fellow here, he's got a job to do. He opens the bottomless pit. He's the son of perdition, which would lead us to think the same spirit that left Judas when he committed suicide comes back again in a man. Could it be that the physical body of Judas is going to be brought back? Probably not. I don't know. But the same spirit, evil spirit, the same devil incarnates the Antichrist that was in Judas Iscariot when he betrayed the Lord. So the Bible is, somebody says, well, I like to watch exciting programs on TV. Read the Bible. There's some exciting programs in it. Guarantee you. Here's one of them right here. And so we're talking about this leader here at the bottomless pit. His name is Perdition. He's called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's got a lot of names in the scripture. I think the only thing in keeping him from pretty much coming on the world scene is getting God's people out. You know who's restraining evil in this world? Is God's people who have the Holy Spirit living within them. And the thinner we get, and the more backslidden and lukewarm the church becomes, the more we see evil advancing on planet Earth. The restraint is not what it used to be. You look at it in your local community. This town right here, I grew up in it pretty much. I remember when certain things here was frowned on. even like working on Sunday, stuff like that. I remember a country I was born in, South Georgia, just a country community. I was a lost kid and didn't know anything about the Word of God or church or anything. But I went up there during hunting season one winter, and I knew my uncle had some bird dogs. I keep having to tell y'all that's not dogs that fly. That's dogs that hunt birds. And so I walked down about a half a mile to his place. It was on Saturday morning. And sure, he was excited to see me. And so he took off from work on the farm, and we went bird hunting, quail hunting. Anybody ever been quail hunting? That's an exciting thing to do. And had a good morning hunting. Those dogs knew where the birds were and went after them, and we had some good shooting that morning. And actually dressed the birds and ate them for lunch. I mean, the Bible tells you that sorry person don't roast what he takes in hunting, but we did. And I was excited about it. I was, how old was I? 12, 13 at the most. And so I said to my uncle, let's do it again in the morning. He said, that's Sunday. I said, yeah, it's okay. He said, it ain't okay around here. He said, you fire a gun on Sunday and somebody's coming to see why. And he wasn't a regular churchgoer, but he knew that. And there were just rules that was understood. I grew up in this town where you didn't hardly worry about locking your door when you left. Of course, we didn't have nothing worth stealing, but people just didn't think about it. We didn't have that kind of problems. I wouldn't say do that now. Now you're probably best to invest in a burglar alarm. You know, big difference. The restraint against evil has been lifted because God's people have tolerated and lost the power, and the church has lost its respect and lost its power, because the old saying pretty well applies to us today. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And that's about what is honestly happening. Here, this fellow, son of perdition, is being restrained now. Now it moves on down here in Revelation, verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now changing, not really exchanging subject, I mean, judgment is falling on planet Earth. This is the tribulation period following the rapture. And it tells us here there's four angels bound, waiting. They would be evil angels, we would say. They're going to bring bad when they're loosed. And they are stored up, it says, in the great river Euphrates. And it says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, prepared for a time now, a certain time, an hour, a day, and a month, and a year. So it's got a date on it. For to stay, to slay the third part of men. That's a big killing, you know that? Third part of men. Now, it is an interesting thing. We know about the river Euphrates. Even in the Desert Storm War, and even after we went into Baghdad, there was some occasions where some of our good soldiers went into that river and drowned in their tanks. There were some things that happened like that. It's over there. It's a big river, and certainly in certain places more than others. And it has a dam built across it now that fulfills the scripture. Again, I'll never get through the book of Revelation if I run all the side issues, but there's a man-made dam over there. There's a highway built over there, both fulfilling the prediction of the Word of God. They have been built for a long time to pave the way of the kings of the east. We'll get into the future chapter on that here in the book of Revelation. But these angels are talking about evil that's penned up for a time and a date that's going to show up during this period of time. It is interesting to see some of the physical stuff that when the book of Revelation did not exist. Some cases even 100 years ago did not exist. but now is, which shows you the accuracy of the Word of God. And I remember one night a number of years ago, I was preaching on Sunday night, and I got on this subject a little bit. And I remember a visiting family that came to our church. In fact, I can call some of their names right now. And they had never heard that before, and it scared them to death that some of this stuff had already been done. And they contacted me about it. I said, I'm sorry I didn't write the Bible. I was just telling you what's in there. Amen. Yes, this is going to happen in its time, on its date, just like God said that it would. Now, this dam that's built over there, as we get a little further in here, we'll find out that a path has to be made across that river for the invading armies from the east to come. And they have a dam now that can do exactly that. It can shut down the water, divert the water even, and make it possible for a mighty army to, as it were, walk across a dry riverbed. That's in the works. It's already been done. And it's quite interesting. Also, there's a highway that's not being used currently that much now, but it's been built. And it is one predicted in the Bible where the invading armies will come across. So this is referring to that. They're in the great river Euphrates, which is a river, been named in history, still named that today. And it says they were loosed, prepared for a certain time, hour, day, and going to kill a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Now, if you're good with your calculator, you can come up with basically roughly looking at a couple hundred billion. Did you know not very long ago the leader of China, just a few years ago, bragged that he could put a 200 million man army together? Quite interesting, he chose the same number, because I don't think he knows much about the book of Revelation. Probably nothing. And so we're not talking theoretical stuff. We're talking about what will come at a certain time, certain day, certain hour. Now, I keep reminding you, if you're saved, you can have great hope of being caught out and being with the Lord and watching this from above and not being part of it. But it's going to be a terrible time for those on earth when these things begin to unfold. And, of course, it'll be war. War has been on man's calendar all his life. Sad to say, some are even talking about war in America now from the inside. Let me say this, and I'm going to deviate from the scripture right here. We don't want that. War is no good anytime for the people that's being killed and hurt by it. We don't want that. Book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time of peace, there's a time of war. Time to live, time to kill. But we'd prefer, you know, right now we're getting enough to eat. We got a place to sleep. We can pretty well go where we want to. All you can point out bad about America, it's still a pretty good place to live right now. But if war breaks out, and when I say, somebody says, civil war, well, to have civil war, you got to have two groups leading. Now, we got the groups, but we don't have the leaders. But let me tell you another kind of war that is real. And I know I'm just talking to my Sunday school class now. You folks in the radio land, just turn the radio off. Don't listen to this. I'm joking with you a little bit. You'd be surprised how some of the stuff I say gets distorted. But we don't want war. We don't want civil war. But if it gets to be a war in America, it won't be the old-fashioned civil war of the old days. It'll be guerrilla warfare. It'll be hit and run. It'll be sabotage. It'll be the stuff that Castro used in Cuba to take over down there. Are we seeing the start of it? You got me off on that. I'm not going to go too much further. Just to say this, we don't want that. And once that stuff starts happening, then there, peace as we know it is gone. And fear drives everything. And from that fear comes foolishness, just like we're seeing now, today. But with all that said, yes, there's a bad time coming. Yes, I believe the saved are going to be caught out. You see, some folks think, well, we need to go through that because we've had it so good and we need to be punished for our sins. Well, I'm thankful Jesus was punished for my sins on the cross, and I don't have to be punished for them. That's what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. I can't pay anything to add to it. If I went through the tribulation period and suffered greatly and lived through it, I couldn't be any more saved. In fact, I wouldn't be saved if I hadn't trusted Christ as my Savior. So you need to understand this, how we think about some of those things. It's going to be a terrible time. Third part of men killed. Army 200,000 strong coming across. And then it says in verse 17, well, let me just say this. Somebody says, where's the dam? Well, it's basically built in Turkey, and there's a China road that's kind of part of that situation there. If you want to do some looking up on it, go ahead and figure it out. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and japheth and brimstone, those stones. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, pretty scary looking. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now I'm going to stop right there and say it is real easy to look at that and say that could be a modern tank shooting from the rear and the front and all the modern weapons that we have and fire throwers and all that. And it could be. I believe there's a little more to it than that. I believe it's probably more supernatural. But some have looked at this, the power in their mouths, their tails, and seen the modern tank and modern weapons that we had. It don't matter. The same damage is going to be done. Now, some of you have watched Star Wars. I never have. I know the kids have. I've seen flashes of it during the commercials and stuff. But, you know, man's imagination put Star Wars and Luke Skywalker and all that stuff together. It is amazing in man's imagination sometime how he comes pretty close to fulfilling Scripture. And if you read the book of Revelation close, these locusts we just saw here, these supernatural creatures that sting men for 5 months, when we look at that, they're pretty scary. Did you ever see some of them man's imagination on Star Wars type stuff? I mean, you wonder where they get such an idea to build such a creepy, scary-looking monsters that they can build on TV. But if man can imagine that, what has God done? Amen. So, if you want to really go through the book of Revelation and examine it, folks, it's a scary time coming. It's a deadly time coming. It's an awful time coming. And the only answer is just be not be here. Know the Lord Jesus Christ and be gone. So it says in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. And this is a sad part. Wish I didn't have to read this. Yet repented not. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I've seen folks that got hurting real bad with sickness or something else, and they seemed to repent, but it was a false repentance, because when they got well, they went right back to doing the same thing. This crowd here, with all the hurt God is putting on them, still says they repented not to him. That's one of the saddest things to read in the Bible, is how man is so capable of shunning the love of God and refusing to turn to the Lord, but keeps on doing his own thing. All right, we'll finish up there, and we almost got through with chapter 9. I hope you were listening fast. Got the numbers there? See what we're doing? We're still holding on in the summer, 429, Sunday school, and others listening on the radio and so forth, and we praise the Lord for that.